Body is the minute you say his name, it's very rare that everybody goes a little bit silly. And I have to say, I went a little bit silly just before I spoke to him. But it started off with me having to apologise to him. He actually, he's here to talk about the story of R.D. Lang, his brand new film, Mad to Be Normal, which is a fascinating, fascinating insight into a certain time of R.D. Lang's life. But I had to start with an apology. And this is absolutely true of something that I did to David Tennant. After the chat, I will explain why I did it. Hello, David.
Hi, Gabby. How are you?
I'm very well, my darling. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
First of all, I have to apologise for throwing a drink over you about 5 years ago in the lift in a certain restaurant club place.
You do not have to apologise. It was an honour.
It was where I offered to wipe it from. That's the embarrassing thing. So I'm pleased you can't see me blushing. Yeah. David, lovely to talk to you, my darling. Mad to Be Normal is an extraordinary film. Obviously, it's based on a few months of the life of R.D. Lang. Mm. For people who don't know who he was, could you just give us a little idea, please?
Well, on one hand, he was a psychiatrist working in London in the 60s. On the other hand, he was a sort of counterculture icon, and that's what makes him an extraordinary character. Is that he trained as a psychiatrist in Glasgow, and he was unnerved by the way patients were being treated, electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, and just being hammered with massive doses of drugs. And he sort of felt there had to be another way, and he started writing about psychosis. He wrote this book called The Divided Self, which became a sort of textbook for people who sort of it became bigger than just a book for the medical community.
And the literati were all obsessed with him, weren't they?
That's it, because there was something about him, there was something compelling about him, there was something hugely charismatic about him, something rather dark about him, and he embraced all that, and he was something of a peacock, and he would wear crushed velvet and paisley pattern shirts, and he would write poems and perform them in front of an audience. But at the same time, he was working to find a new way of treating mental illness. So he took this place, Kingsley Hall, in the East End of London, which is still standing. We filmed there. It's almost exactly as it was in the 60s.
That's incredible.
He had this kind of commune where some really quite disturbed individuals were living with doctors and with medical professionals, but they were all living as one. There was no medication and there were no rules. And the idea being, it now looks like a terribly 60s idea, but that everyone would just let it all hang out, and that what happened happened, and that nobody was wrong and nobody was right. And he had some amazing successes, and some people their lives were transformed by living in that way. And it really started conversations about how we treat mental illness and how we communicate with people who are suffering in that way.
It came from a very good place, a very kind place, a place of love. I mean, it's so shocking when you see people getting, electrodes strapped to their heads. And yeah. I mean, that was so terrifying. But also, he was a deeply troubled man. I mean, the relationship with his mother, unbelievable.
Well, he did, in some of his writings, he talks about how all problems, schizophrenia and so on, all stem from the family. And I think he believed that in no small part because his relationship with his mother was quite troubled. He saw her as a very almost an evil figure. He talked about her sometimes, but I think his relationship there was very ambiguous and very complicated, as it is often with parents and children.
Absolutely. I was lucky enough to meet one of his sons, what's so interesting is talking to him, and they all just felt that he is a father. I mean, you can show, there's a moment, I don't want to give too much away, but if people know a story, there's a heartbreaking bit, which I actually heard myself sobbing out loud. Just a moment, oh my goodness, which you know what I'm talking about, but as I said, I wanted to say. Yeah. But he didn't really know how to be a father in many ways as well, did
that's
he?
That's one of the, I mean, that's, again, that's why he's such a compelling character. This man who seemed to have wells of empathy for people he'd never met before couldn't seem to be a father to his own children, it would appear. Or certainly had difficulties with family life himself. But, part of what he wrote about was that we're all sort of on the spectrum of mental illness somewhere. You know, he diagnosed himself as an alcoholic, as a depressive, and I think, you know, he was a complicated man, and I think depending on who you talk to, people have hugely various experiences of him, and people were compelled and drawn to him, other people were absolutely repelled by him. Of course, that makes him a great man to tell the story of, because he sort of confounds expectations whichever way you look.
And for an actor, it's one of those roles that I imagine is just, I'm going to use the word meaty. It was a meaty role, wasn't it?
It is, yeah, because he's such a complicated man. He's such an extraordinary man and such a charismatic man. In some ways, he's very difficult to like as well. You know, he keeps disappointing you, and he keeps thrilling you. And the more you find out about him, the more confusing he is, and the more extraordinary he is. And from an acting point of view, that's rather delicious.
Now, young man, I'd like to take you back to your childhood and this obsession with Doctor Who.
Oh yes,
I'm sure people would love that. You know, a psychiatrist sitting there going, "Right, sit on this sofa and say you were obsessed with Doctor Who, and then one day you got to play it. That must have been pretty darn incredible."
Oh yes, of course. I mean, it seems now, of course, I almost take it for granted because it happened. But the fact that it happened, the chances of that taking place are astronomically impossible.
I love that. I mean, do you, because you've got four children,
I do,
you know, do they say to you, you know what, daddy, one day I'd like to whatever, do you look at them and say, you know what, that can happen?
No, I don't think I do, but I should.
You
I?
Should. Oh,
I know,
my
I should
word.
Be the poster boy for that, really.
So I've been told tales of you. Mm. Don't worry, very nice tales. Your best friend has been on this radio show many times, Arabella Weir.
Oh, yes.
Now, she has many a tale to tell.
Oh, yes.
So
you're
what
worrying
I would,
me now.
No, I'm not. You know what I'm going to do is I'm not going to share the tales. What I would like is you, because she's going to be coming on the show again soon.
Oh.
I would like a tale from you about Arabella. See what I'm doing there? Twisting it.
Was
she a good landlady?
She was a lovely landlady, yes. Although she did like to keep the house quite cold. I think she was terrified of the heating bills. We did live in jumpers. But, you know, I understand that. We're both from a sort of Scottish Presbyterian upbringing. You'd always rather strap on another. You know, the hair shirt is always more pleasing than the luxury.
Oh, the hair shirt. Also, your father-in-law was in here just a few weeks ago as well. Yeah, what
excellent.
A lovely man. What
yes.
a, he actually, here's the thing. I was, when I was little, I was going to marry him when he was in All Creatures.
Right.
I did tell him that. It was a bit
embarrassing. You told him that?
I told him, yeah.
Right.
But when I was very little, in All Creatures Great and Small. Now, it was, he also said wonderful things about you as well.
Oh.
Does anybody ever say anything bad about you?
No, I have a huge amount of payments made every month to keep everyone saying nice things.
It's
a fortune.
Utter delight, David Tennant. Thank you very much indeed. That film is Mad to Be Normal. It's absolutely fascinating. He is brilliant in it. He is such a fine actor. A real joy to see him. It's lovely that we were able to split that up, because obviously we spoke to him just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, about Broadchurch. Any excuse to get David Tennant on this show. Now, very delighted that a friend of the show's, Tony, who